This is The Business, and I'm Kim Masters. With credits on shows like Boardwalk Empire, Vinyl, and The Queen's Gambit, music supervisor Randall Poster has become a go-to guy for storytellers with daunting music needs in their projects. After years of collaborating with heavy hitters like Richard Linklater, Todd Haynes, Martin Scorsese, and Wes Anderson, Poster co-created a company called Premiere Music. The business works in film, television, and advertising, with Poster serving as creative director. Scorsese's upcoming film, Killers of the Flower Moon, is among the many releases that Poster has been involved with this year. His musical guidance can be heard in the ominous trailer.
"Move," said the great white father. "There are many, so many hungry wolves. Can you find the wolves in this picture?"
NPR contributor Jeff London spoke to Randall Poster about how music serves as a time machine that transports viewers to days of old.
What is it like if you're tasked to find music from the 30s or the 40s or the 20s, like Killers of the Flower Moon? You know, are there any moments that stand out for you, musical moments in that film?
Well, we recorded a bunch of pieces for each of the sort of eras. The movie starts at the end of the First World War, and then we take a little stop in the 20s, and we take a little stop in the 30s, and then we actually take a little stop into the 40s. We had a woman named Raina Gellert, who is the great fiddle player in America, and we did a string band that was on camera. Those were the first live sessions that we did since the quarantine. Recorded some really, really hot bluegrass songs. So that was a total highlight and plays in the movie. And then we did some recording with Vince, and Robbie Robertson has made a really special score for the film. So it's a pretty good musical feast.
Yeah, Vince Giordano was instrumental in Boardwalk Empire, which, of course, you won a Grammy Award for the first compilation. But what really strikes me, and I'm a big fan of Vince Giordano, I've heard him, and it's like hearing those 78s come to life, but in stereo, you know. And you got, you know, kind of a constellation of stars to come in and record some of those tunes. Any great moments from that?
You know, the American songbook of the 1920s and 1930s is pretty sturdy. So when you give great singers great songs, they're excited to cut them. And especially if they get to do it with Vince, we probably recorded 300 songs for Boardwalk Empire over the 4 or 5 seasons.
Wow.
We had Liza Minnelli. That was a trip.
"Daddy dear, listen here. Your mama's feeling blue. I don't see much of you."
You talk about locking songs away in your safe. Are there just a bunch of songs that you have that you're kind of waiting to use? And are there certain songs that you had in your safe that you had an opportunity to say, "Hey, I think this would be really great for this moment"?
You know, a lot of films that I've worked on are set in specific past periods. So sometimes it's a great song that just doesn't have, you know, you're just waiting for the right movie moment. Most notably, I guess, "Let Her Dance" by Bobby Fuller is the end sequence of Fantastic Mr. Fox. And that was one that Wes and I had in hand for about 10 years.
You've worked quite a bit with Wes Anderson, and I know that you've got a new film coming, actually a couple of new films coming out. What's that relationship like? And I'm assuming that you've got to do some research for things like Grand Budapest Hotel.
Wes and I have been working together for just about 25 years. And really, we started working together the day we met, going back and forth about movies and songs. And so I generally have been in very early on the process of being one of the first readers of pages or sections or scripts. And so there's been so much musical variety in Wes's films. And so the experiences with each of them is unique too. For instance, with, like you're saying, with Grand Budapest Hotel, of Wes nor I wouldn't call us classical music experts, you know, And so just trying to get a handle on all the varieties of music in all of the very middle European states, you know, popular music, classical music, military marches, folk songs, that leads you to like consulting a guy who owns a classical music shop in Hamburg, Germany. These movies take you around the world, you know, both physically and kind of spiritually.
Asteroid City is in theaters June 16th. And later this year, Wes Anderson is also releasing The Wonderful World of Henry Sugar. It's an awful lot of projects that you're working on, one being in the 1950s, Asteroid City, and then the other being Dark Stories by Roald Dahl. Was there any overlap?
Asteroid City is just great. I mean, I saw the finished print for the first time last night. The movie is filled with cowboy songs, and there's some singing cowboys in the movie. And then the Roald Dahl is Henry Sugar. I can't even tell you how special, you know, how uniquely rendered these stories are by Wes, and no crossover musically. I mean, we were working on both of them at points at the same time, but there wasn't music crossover.
I wonder if you could talk a little bit about music supervision for commercial work. You have a music agency called Premier Music. Can you talk a little bit about how you work on commercials and for specific brands?
Well, you know, that work was born out of the fact that directors that I was working with were getting asked to do commercials, perhaps most notably Wes's American Express card commercial, which is really great if you haven't seen it.
My life is about telling stories.
Is my birds?
I think so.
I need those. My card is American Express.
Working on commercials, it allowed me to have some help to do that. And over the course of the last 15 years, we've built this very robust music agency that, you know, we work on campaigns, we work on spots, we work with a few brands to give them some music identity. We do retail playlists. So that's really nice because it's allowed us to cultivate some younger people and give them the means to better understand the artistry involved. Having younger people around too is a wonderful way to have a music refresh. It's interesting to always go and kind of look inside the record collection of, you know, in the 1920s, but it's also important to hear from people what they're responding to currently on an emotional level or the things that are just sort of popping.
Actually, there is a question of, you know, do you want to play songs that are really popular in films or do you want to play songs that are maybe less popular?
I really find as a rule, like there is no rule in the sense that like, I just want to find the most right song for the moment and then the most right song that plays within the context of the entire movie, right? So sometimes the thing that has some associations for people is okay. And sometimes that, I mean, that's really the problem is that, you know, songs have driven advertising in the last, whatever, couple of decades, much more use of songs than original composition or jingles. And so there's always some population that a song has a particular charge, you know, it takes them to a certain place that takes them out of the movie. And sometimes you can sense that and sometimes you don't know that. But it's more like, I think when it's right, it's a visceral feeling that you get.
Yeah.
You know, directors oftentimes, the question is like, well, has this been in anything? And you just think, well, first of all, I don't know about everything, but I would say you should think that it is in something. Because, and I always feel with a director, you say, hey, if you use a song, great, you own it. Even like, I'd even take on Stuck in the Middle with You. If I feel like my moment is that strong in the movie, I don't care that Quentin Tarantino used it to incredible effect.
Randall Poster's upcoming work includes Wes Anderson's Asteroid City and Martin Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon. Thank you so much for joining.
Thanks so much, okay? Good talking to you.
And that's The Business. Joshua Farnham produced and edited today's program with help this week from John Meek, who mixed the show. You can stream The Business as well as other great KCRW shows on kcrw.com or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Kim Masters. We'll see you next week on The Business.